You may be seated. Good morning. Welcome to our worship service on this last Sunday of June. The year is almost over, and it's grateful to be in this room. It's grateful that this room is air-conditioned. And while we come together to celebrate Jesus Christ, probably the person that you are happiest with of all the people here is Carolyn Ashwell, because it was her idea to move our ice cream social inside today. So because of her, we won't be sweltering in the heat. So we would invite all of you, if you'd like, we're just going to have a light hot dog meal afterwards. And I saw a lot of good desserts and homemade ice cream down there. So you can either go down the steps or you can drive around and go through there. So we're grateful that you're here. I want to just lift up a couple announcements. If you'll see, this week we will have Bible study on July the 3rd, Wednesday morning, but not July the 4th, Wednesday or Thursday evening, in honor of Independence Day. And then I would also invite you that the next healing service that we're having is Sunday night, July the 14th at 7 p.m. So please plan on attending that if you'd like. Any other announcements? As we go to prayer requests, I just want to thank you for the prayers. As Emma and I traveled up through New England, we did about a little more than 2,700 miles and had a great time. And from what I hear, and I want to give praise, I hear that Jen and Lisa did a great job, and I just want to appreciate their service to our church. Any other prayer requests anyone would like to lift? Yes, ma'am, Agnes.
Catherine Stone, she has a cracked pelvis and a sprained ankle. And Teresa Hart, who is suffering from depression.
Okay. So Teresa Hart with depression, and then Catherine Stone with a pelvic and broken ankle?
Sprained
ankle, okay.
The pelvis is broken.
Okay. Thank you. Let's keep Catherine up. Okay. Thank you. I saw Webb, did you have, or Carrie?
We keep my brother in prayer. He finally got home from the hospital last night. He's got to follow up with a neurosurgeon. He sent a picture this morning. His hands are healing, his face is healing. That's an allergic reaction to something else. There's several vertebrae in his neck. It's a long list. Webb and I don't know exactly all the details, but just keep him in prayer. He'll follow up with the doctor this week. And also, my friend Val will be having surgery on July 1st.
Okay, so.
She has breast cancer, so we just keep her in prayer, and her daughter Alyssa and Michael.
Okay, so let's keep Valerie Soma in prayer. She's having surgery July 1st. And then Ned Atkins. And they still don't know the cause of the shingles or all that?
I don't know what it is. They said allergic.
He's got a bunch of bulging discs. He's got all kinds of stuff going on. Probably going to need surgery.
And he's not 50 yet, is he?
He
just turned. Just turned 50. Let's keep Ned in our prayers as well as Valerie. Anyone else? Robert.
Glenn and Ruth and the helmsman.
Okay. Anyone else? Yes, Tony.
Just keep my mom in. And everyone's prayers when she enters into the Bedford Hospice house in a couple of weeks.
Let's keep Barbara Smith in our prayers as she goes into the transition of the Bedford Hospice house. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Tony.
Larry
fell and broke a couple ribs. So
a couple ribs. So
I want to keep Larry in prayer. And Lisa, you weren't in when I made the announcement, but I just wanted to thank you publicly. I heard great feedback from your sermon, and I listened to it too, and I'll steal it one day and preach it. So, any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we just thank you for all the miracles that we experience. All the privileges that we have, all the blessings that we are so familiar with that at times, unless we stop and remind ourselves or each other, we often can become just oblivious to. We're just surrounded by blessings. Just the privilege of being able to not have to be for extended times out in this heat. And we thank you for that blessing. May we not take for granted all the ways in which we are richly blessed, and may we always, in the celebration of your goodness and blessings, may we always be mindful of the needs and wants of others. And we pray for those that are hurting and in any situation, mind, body, or estate. We pray that you'll strengthen and encourage. In particular, we pray for these that have been mentioned aloud. We pray that you would be with Ned and Lou. And we just pray that they'll have more clarity and that Ned will continue to have healing. We pray that you would be with Glenn and Ruth. May they continue in their journey to be strengthened. Be with Valerie as she has surgery on the 1st and for subsequent treatments of her breast cancer. We just pray that they will be effective. We pray that you'll be with Teresa Hart as she's just needs encouragement. She needs your touch and the presence of others to help her in this path of depression. We pray that you would be with those that are recovering from surgeries, for Wendy and for Gail, for Philip. We pray that you'd be with Larry. We pray that you would be with Catherine, with her broken bones from the accident. We pray that you'd be with the upcoming move for Barbara. We know that change can be difficult at any station in life, in particular when there's so many limited abilities and just the difficulty of aging. And I just thank you for the way the Brills have just really done above and beyond caring for Barbara, and we pray that that transition to a place now that they can pass that baton of care to them, and that it'd be good for Barbara and it'd be good for the Brills. So we just pray that that transition will go well. Be it our time of fellowship to follow, that it'll be a wonderful time of joy and laughter as we strengthen old friends and make new. And we pray that you would be with this worship service. May Jesus Christ be praised, and may we be edified by being in your presence together. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. If you look at the front of the bulletin, we can gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait. Amen. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the living Spirit.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. If you'll look with me to the insert, we'll use the first 8 verses of Psalm 30, calling each to worship, then we'll stand and sing hymn 107, Love Lifted Me. I will exalt you, O Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not let my enemies triumphed over me.
O Lord my God, I cried to you, and you restored me to health.
You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored my life as I was going down to the grave.
Sing to the Lord of the servants of his, give thanks for the remembrance of his holiness.
For his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye, his favor for a lifetime. While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor, made me as strong as the mountains.
Then you hid your face, and I was still with fear.
Says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with vengefuls. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men.
Forevermore, and who has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And as children of light, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The second reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urged Titus that he, as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace also. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at this present time should supply their need, so that their abundance may supply your need, and that there may be fairness. As it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack.
Thank you. We praise your name, both now and for all eternity, with all the heavenly hosts and the church on high. We lift on high your holy name. Amen.
Gospel reading is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet, and implored him earnestly, saying, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live. And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, If I touch even his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, Who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace, and be healed of your disease. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house someone who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not fear, only believe. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumai, which means, Little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. Thus saith the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Amen. You may be seated. Grace and peace be unto you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me start off by introducing two guidelines. One, and I'll just give my premise up front. Nothing is more important in your life than your thoughts about God. How you see God will determine everything else in your life and faith. Or as Jesus asked his own disciples, who do you say that I am? How you see God will determine how you see life. It'll determine how you see the events in your life. It'll determine how you approach life. The book of Psalms, which was the Children of Israel's hymn book, understood the importance of music. A French philosopher said several centuries ago, You write the laws and let me write the music and I will control your people. We understand the power of music. And the Psalter was the hymn book of the Children of Israel, and it formed how they saw God. Martin Luther called the Book of Psalms a miniature Bible. And he said, in the Book of Psalms, we see the pattern of what the attitude we should have. We see it largely through King David, who often would experience such frustration and anxiety and confusion and anger. But when he entered into the household of the Lord, when his gaze went to Yahweh, he was able to see God properly and life properly. The second thing I want to state is that when we talk about praising, you're going to hear a lot about praising today, and you heard it in the scripture. Let me tell you, praising is not how you feel. When we say to praise God, we're not talking about getting a tingling emotion. When you go into a worship service and the music or the lighting or something makes you tingle, that's not necessarily praise. And when you're not tingling, it doesn't mean you're bored. Praise has nothing to do with your emotions. Praise also is different than thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is being grateful to God for the wonderful things He's done. And it's appropriate. God has done many things, and it's appropriate for us to give thanksgiving. Praise, however, is not giving God thanks for what He has done. It's praising Him for who He is. And that's why worship is so protected and why idolatry is so damaging, because it makes our focus of God misaligned. Because the truth of the matter is, like Jairus, like the woman with the hemorrhage of blood, like the crowd surrounding them, we all have a choice, don't we? Every day. We can focus on the circumstances surrounding us, the situation or storm we might be in, or we can focus on who God is. And what the Psalms help us do is to focus properly on who God is and to praise Him even in the storm.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away. Stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. Well, as the thunder rolls, I can barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I will raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I will praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand, you never left my side. And though my heart is torn, I will praise you in the storm. I remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. But my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. And as your mercy falls, I will raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I will praise you in the storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand, never left my side.
Confession. No matter how you're feeling, no matter what's going on in your life, it's stating that you are who you are. Wherever I am. See, it doesn't make sense to be thankful or grateful in the storm. You're not overly spiritual. You're not deeply pious. If you get happy every time it rains on your parade, or you get a flat tire, or a bad prognosis, that doesn't prove you've got deep spirituality. It just shows you're out of touch with reality. No one is thankful for the bad times, the dark storms of life. That's why we're not told to do that. We are told to praise in the storm. In the scripture, Psalm 30, if you'll look with me to your scripture, in the midst of trials, David says in Psalm 30, and he uses a phrase over and over, and we sang it in the first hymn. He uses a small little word, up. He said, David says that he will be lifted up. And that word literally means to be lowered into a pit. In a passive way. Someone lowers you into a pit, you're passive. Someone pulls you up out of the pit, and then you provide water for the benefit of others. That's a phrase that's being used here in Hebrew. And there are three truths we see in Psalm 30, if you'll look with me, that will enable us to see God properly, and hopefully will enable us to praise Him in the storm. And the first truth we see in verse 6 is that David knew that God had established him. In verse 6, it says, weeping may spend the night, but joy comes in the morning. While I felt secure, I said, I shall never be disturbed. You, Lord, with your favor, made me strong as the mountains. There we see that dichotomy, that antithesis that I said earlier, that praise is not about your feelings. David is saying, I felt secure, but it didn't last. We know what it is to think that we've got it down pat now. Life is settled down and stable. And we've got that behind us, and it'll be easy sailing from now on. How many of you have ever thought, okay, we got that behind us, now I can relax? and we feel secure. And then something we didn't expect, what the psalmist would call not so much those arrows that we see in the day, but those arrows that come at night. Those unexpected phone calls, those situations that we didn't know about, and the feelings of security we have evaporate. But we're still called to praise. So we praise not by the feelings of our security, but we praise because He has established us. And David knew that he was called. David could think back to when he was 15 years old, and Samuel had to encourage his dad to bring all the boys in. And he remembers being anointed by Samuel. He remembers that promise of God. And you need to remember, as Luther would say often when you're going through difficult times, sometimes you have to make the sign of the cross and say, I am a Christian. I am baptized. You need to remind yourself, you were not by your own doing entered into this thing we call the Christian faith, but you were called. You were engrafted into Christ. You are established in Him. You're sealed. David knew that the promise of God came that forever you'll have a son on the throne. He knew he was called. He knew he was sealed. He knew that his own sin couldn't set it aside because his own holiness had not brought it about. He knew he couldn't lose it by being stupid because he had been stupid from the beginning, just like all of us. It's a gift. It comes. And he knew he could hold on in the storm because even though it wasn't fun, he knew that his well-being was eternally fixed in the heavens, established by God. I feel sorry on a personal note for individuals that believe, and some do in the Christian church, and we're brothers and sisters, but I'm glad I don't believe that you can lose your salvation. Because if I felt like I could lose it, I would never enjoy it because I would be anxious all the time that I'm going to do something stupid and mess it up. How much better is the truth of the gospel, the truth of the word, that it was given to us by God, declared to us in Christ. And as John 10 tells us, Jesus says, I have never lost a sheep. Because you're not holding on to me, but I'm holding you in my hand, and my hand is in the Father's hand, and we are being held. So David could praise in the storm because he knew it wasn't his goodness, his smarts, his creativity or holiness that established him, but he knew God had established him, and he wasn't going anywhere. The second thing he knew is he knew that his life, his ministry, his reign belonged to God. I think one of the sweetest words in the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 6, where Paul says, you are not your own. You are bought with the price. And when I hear that, you are not your own, all I can think is, thank God. I am glad I'm not mom. My dad, when I was a kid, it was very constructive because I saw the good parts of it. I saw the stormy parts of it. My dad ran his own business. And I learned early watching my father through the storms and struggles of a business that eventually failed, though it succeeded for a while. I learned really early there was a big difference between owners and employees. And I learned watching that, I want to be an employee. I saw some differences. I saw that employees, they got to check out at 4:30 or 5 and go home. I saw employees could go and go dancing or go to different places they went, and they could leave the work at home. I could see employees could sleep at night. I saw employees never worried about how they were going to make payroll. But I saw with my dad, the owner, that he never could check out. He was always anxious about. He was always worried about making payroll, and he did whatever he could to make sure payroll was met. See, the employees could sleep well at night because the owner, if it's a good owner, to use a scripture, is an owner who neither sleeps nor slumbers. And I love the fact that I don't own my own life. I love the fact that God bought my life with the precious blood of Christ. And it, if I can be blunt, it's now His responsibility. I haven't sold many cars, but when I've ever sold a car to an individual, I love that phrase of getting the signed title and giving them the key to problems I wish I could have gotten rid of a long time ago, and saying, it's your responsibility now. I found that didn't work when you sell cars to your children, but anyway, that's a different sermon. But the owner has the responsibility, and I'm pressing this because David understood this. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. God has taken responsibility for us. That doesn't mean we don't have tasks to do. Employees do have tasks to do. But the authority, if we look in verse 5, we see this. Verse 5, for his wrath endures but the twinkling of an eye. His favor is for a lifetime. Verse 9, I cried to you, O Lord, I pleaded with you, saying, hear, verse 11, have mercy upon me, O Lord, be my helper. See, I am so grateful that God not only saved me, but He bought me. And He took full responsibility for His children. He is our Father. And to go back to the employee thought, that motif, we need to trust our owner when things are happening that are far beyond our pay grade. He's a good owner. He's a perfect owner. He's got your best interest in mind. He has a vested interest in you. And our trust is saying He's our owner. So if you want to allow tough times in my life, I don't mean this flippantly, but it's like, okay, Lord, You're the owner. If You want this to come into my life, if You want this storm to come, You're the boss. I trust You. We have a good example of that, don't we, brothers and sisters? Can you think of one who went through a storm the size of which none of you nor I have ever or nor will go through, and pleaded with his quote-unquote boss to come up with a different plan? Can you think of what story that is? Maybe the stained glass behind me will help. When Jesus was in the garden, and He expressed that same faith in the difficulty of His storm, and He says, I don't want this to happen. I don't want this to be my cup. But He trusted. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. Put in the vernacular, He could say, I don't understand it, but You're the boss, and I trust You. And because Jesus did that, He's the first fruits of all of us. So no matter what you're going through, no matter what I'm going through, we with sincerity can say, God, I'm Yours. You've bought me with the price. I don't understand this storm, but You're the boss, and I trust You. And the final thing He knew that enabled Him to praise during the storm, He knew that His life was to bless others. We go back to that original definition of to draw or to lift up. It's to take a bucket and drop it into a well, lift it up, and to bring water that's beneficial to others. And this is why David says, and we see him compelling others to praise him. He says in verse 2, O Lord my God, I cried out to you. You restored me to health. You brought me up, O Lord, from the dead. You restored me to life as I was going down to the grave. And then he tells others, sing to the Lord, you servants of his. So we encourage others. The trials we go through have a purpose. I've walked with most of you for many years, and I know the difficulties and that we walk together. And sometimes I've heard, and sometimes you've probably felt, when you go through a storm, you might have the question, why? Why am I going through this storm? I can praise you, God, but why am I going through this storm? And some people would tell you, you never can know the answer to the why question. I don't believe that. Because the scripture tells us why. And this is what we have to trust. And while we can praise God in the midst of the storm, and if you'll turn with me, I'll close by allowing the word of God to answer why. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Begin in verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our afflictions. And here's the answer to the why question. So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us up from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that we will never, that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Here's a why question. Answered in the reason that we go through the difficulties of life, the storms we go through, so that we can comfort others. So that we can reach out, as Henry Nouwen said, in The Wounded Healer, with the hand of comfort and strength. But what he would say, like Christ Jesus, our hand of comfort cannot be empathetic unless it has been wounded by the difficulty of sin. And the hand of Christ that extends to us has that mark of the suffering he went through for sin. And as we relate to one another, the comfort and strength we bring to each other is not saying, hey, I've done my life perfectly, let me show you how to do it too. It's rather, hey buddy, I've gone through something similar. And I don't know any answers, but I know the answer. And he's faithful and true. And we can praise him together through the storm. Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You'll join me in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
God of mercy and grace, we praise and thank you in spirit and in truth, for you have asked everything of us, and at the same time you have given us everything you ask of us. In Abraham you called the people and invited them to entrust their future to you. In the sacrifice of Isaac and the provision of the ram, you foretold your gracious redemption of the world. You sent Jesus, your own lamb, as the new Isaac, the true offering, that we might belong in your company forever. In his death and resurrection, we know you to be the Lord who provides. And so we rejoice with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, singing the song of your unending praise.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Freely given God, in Christ you deliver us from the wages of sin and invite us into eternal life. Sanctify your people gathered around your holy table, that every heart may offer you welcome. Send your Holy Spirit upon this bread and this cup, that they may be for us the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he also took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
God of creation and covenant, you order your world in springtime and harvest, and restore your world in resurrection and final glory. Put a song in every weary throat and hope in every troubled heart. Uphold your little ones where they face hardship, sorrow, or abandonment. Bless parents who have lost the trust of their children, and children who live outside the care of loving arms. Make this meal a sign of your abundance in a world of scarcity, and your companionship in a world of loneliness. Make us heralds of your kingdom, and fill our hearts with longing for your heavenly banquet, where you will be all in all, one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, forevermore.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we ponder and gaze upon Christ in the garden, we know it's the opposite of the beginning all evil that we see portrayed in Isaiah 14, when Satan said the exact opposite of what Christ said. "I will be exalted above God. I will promote my way. I will insist upon my rights. I will get all I'm entitled to. I will. I will, I will, I will." And he was cast down. Our Savior, on the other hand, said, "Not my will, but thine be done." And through the most horrific storm imaginable, and his willingness to go through that, salvation was provided for all. May the Spirit recommend in our hearts the way of Christ in dealing with the storms of life than the way of the evil one. I invite all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth to come and to receive the very body and blood of Christ. He is our Passover lamb, given for us. As we come, we keep the feast. He meets us here, and I invite you to attend. Thank you.
Thank you, our gracious risen Lord. We thank you for the promise never to leave nor forsake us. We thank you for your attentiveness and awareness, even when no one else is aware that we reached out in need to touch your robe. You know. We thank you for capturing every tear ever shed, for hearing the prayers spoken and unspoken. At the end of the day, we just thank you for being a great, great God who's full of mercy and compassion, and who is worthy of all of our trust for all of our days, no matter where we are. For we know we serve the great I Am. And because of that, we praise your holy name and pray through that name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship together, singing 576, Give Thanks. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us faultless before the throne. To God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen. The service is over. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord.